Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Tommy Tucker here at WWL. It is hot and it is humid, and it is going to be hot and humid until maybe October, November. Unless there's some tropical weather, then it'll be even more hot and more humid and then dangerous. But let's hope that we just stick with hot and humid. We're going to talk about inflation here. Get us going. Patrick Penfield joins us, our friend, professor of supply chain practice at Syracuse University. Talking about inflation, tariffs, et cetera. How you doing, professor?
Good, Tommy. How you doing?
I'm all right. I'm still wondering about tariffs and Liberation Day and effect that's had on anything. I checked my 401k earlier just to see how it was doing. I hadn't checked it in a long time, and apparently it's doing okay. I took some money out earlier because I wanted to make sure I had enough to pay off the house just in case everything tanked. Maybe I shouldn't have done that. I don't know. Either way, I got peace of mind. Tell me about inflation, the effect on the economy, the stock market, everything else. I don't know how you measure all of this, Patrick, because there's a lot of stuff that goes into it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, Tommy, you know, with inflation, it's, you know, again, overall increase in prices. So we're you know, overall, it's not bad. It's about 2.4% year-to-date. The Fed looks for it about 2%. So inflation right now is okay, right? I think it's bearable. You know, the big issue is what's going to happen in the second half of 2025, and that's, I think, when we'll start to see some of the tariff impacts.
So, again, going back to tariffs, I don't quite know what the president's doing. I know he's probably negotiating. He talked about Liberation Day, then he talked about not imposing tariffs, and then he talked about countries coming to the table, but I don't know who's coming to the table, who's not. He sent a letter, apparently letters to people. I don't know what's going on there, but has anything changed with tariffs? Have we imposed tariffs on anything? And have those prices or have those tariffs begun to reflect themselves on prices that we pay yet?
So, yes, tariffs have been, you know, basically put in on a lot of countries. And, you know, we're seeing that just with the amount of revenue that Customs Borders is collecting, right? So they're collecting billions of dollars. So, you know, somebody's paying for that. So what, Tommy, I work with a lot of purchasing individuals, and, you know, this is one thing, it's a lot of angst. So if you're in purchasing right now, you're kind of stressed about what to do. And, you know, purchasing people are very clever, right? So they're figuring out ways to kind of get around the tariffs or try to minimize its impact to business. So that's one of the reasons why we haven't seen its impact yet. A lot of it is due to companies pulling in inventory, you know, in the first and second quarter, you know, before the tariffs hit. And now, you know, now we're starting to see, you know, companies starting to struggle with tariffs. And I think that, for the most part, is really what's going on in the United States. The big issue, Tommy, is small businesses. And they're the ones that are suffering right now with this uncertainty. They're not sure about, you know, what's going on price-wise. If you're a big company, you have resources that you can dedicate to kind of figure out how to minimize the impact of tariffs. If you're a small company, you're going to struggle. And this is my big concern for the second half of 2025 is, can small businesses survive?
Is that primarily because of cash flow when it comes to small businesses and not having the money to tie up in inventory to beat the tariffs?
Absolutely, Tommy. So again, if you're a small business, you know, you're trying to, you know, minimize your, you know, your expenditures, and again, that's tough. And you're right, that this is the big issue. You just don't have the cash to be able to invest in inventory like these big companies do.
So, what products are we talking about, Professor, specifically?
You know, the ones I'm concerned about, anything that has steel and aluminum in it, and that's just because of the tariff hikes of like 50%. So I'm very concerned of what we'll see in the second half of 2025. Anything that has aluminum, anything that has steel, you know, that's where, you know, I think we'll start to see some of the bigger impacts. And I think, you know, consumers will start to see that in the second half. Some other things, again, apparel, electronics, you know, any type of cars. I think food, if you can, food is my big concern. So, I think the tariff impact is going to happen in the second half. We're going to start to see it in probably, I'd say, end of July, August. That's when, you know, I think consumers will noticeably see that prices have gone up.
Did you say canned food?
Yeah, yeah, because, you know, most of the can, the metal that goes into cans is imported. And so, you know, the can manufacturers, they import that that particular aluminum. And then, again, just trying to make the cans, that metal that goes into the cans is the tariff impact. So we're going to see anywhere from a 10 to 15% increase, you know, on canned goods. So if you have dog food, cat food, you know, anything that you use, you know, cans for, you'll start to see that. And again, you'll see that probably, I would say, in the August time frame.
So not 10 to 15% increase in the price of the can, 10 to 15% in the price of the product because of the increased tariff on the aluminum or the steel or whatever is used in making the can?
That's correct.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, that taught me something I didn't know. Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, that's, I think that's a little, we're going to see a lot of things. And, you know, for the most part, consumers are going to be surprised at, you know, some of the things that are going to go up in price.
What are you hearing from the bigger companies like the Walmarts and the Costcos and the Sam's Clubs and these kind of places? What are they doing to get ahead of this, or are they doing anything, or can they?
Oh, yeah, they're doing a lot, Tommy. You know, they've actually have war rooms set up in some of these big companies, and what they do is they sit down and they kind of have these giant spreadsheets, and they look at, you know, what's the latest and greatest tariff that's being impacted today. And that's the unfortunate thing is, mm-hmm. you know, things are changing on a daily basis. So, you know, you have to look and see what's going on. And so a lot of these companies, you know, they're, what they're doing is they're sourcing from other countries when they see, you know, tariff go up. Some are doing what's called tariff reengineering, where they're trying to reduce the actual product itself or change the product itself to get a lower tariff rate, which you can do as long as it's, you know, legal and above board. Some companies are bringing in inventory in these bonded warehouses, and you're allowed to pull it out at these bonded warehouses at whatever the tariff rate is. So, again, I'm a cash flow, right? So you're tying up.
What kind of warehouse did you say?
What kind of warehouses? Yeah, bonded warehouses. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. And it's interesting. So you can place product in a bonded warehouse. You don't get charged a tariff rate until you actually pull it, and then it's whatever the tariff rate is that day, which is very interesting. But the downside
sounds like future, like the future market with tariffs, when somebody's gambling on whether the tariff is going to go up or down. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So if you own bonded warehouses, your business has been exploding, and we've kind of seen that on the West Coast. So, yeah, I think for the most part, you know, a lot of companies, especially the bigger ones, are just trying to minimize the impact of the tariffs as much as they possibly can.
Man, you're teaching me some stuff, Patrick. I love to learn different stuff. So when you say the rate of inflation has calmed down, that's different than price increase due to tariffs, or is the price of tariffs increasing products included in the inflation rate?
Yeah, so that's included in the inflation rate. So right now it's about 2.4%. Okay. You know, that's your core inflation. Excuse me, that's regular inflation. Your core inflation was 2.8%. That would be food and energy. So overall, not bad. I mean, the Fed wants it to be about 2%. I mean, that's their goal, and, you know, that's when they'll start, you know, reducing interest rates. And so when that happens, that's probably when you'll see them get a little more aggressive with trying to do that. But my expectation, Tommy, is probably for the second half.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
2025, prices are going to go up. So I'm a little concerned. Yeah.
Well, I'm just trying to get a handle on when we say inflation rate, that includes tariffs?
Yes, absolutely, Tommy.
Okay, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. We're talking to Patrick Penfield, our guest, professor of supply chain practice at Syracuse University. He says he expects prices to go up in the second part of the year as a result of tariffs. If you have any questions or comments, 504-260-1870. On the other side of the break, I'd like to find out if tariffs are producing anything good. Because that was the idea behind them, and we'll see when we return. Right now, traffic, WWL. 625, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Patrick Penfield, professor of supply chain practice at Syracuse University. So I'm trying to figure out, professor, where we are with tariffs, what's on, what's off, and the method behind the madness with President Trump. And I'm just wondering, the idea behind tariffs, have they produced any good things for the country, or have they resulted in any net gains, I guess, for the country or the economy or for businesses or whatever they were intended to do?
Yeah, so Tommy, the tariffs overall, they've actually generated about $100 billion worth of revenue for the U.S. government. So that's almost double what we saw last year at this time period. So overall, over $100 billion.
Okay, well, that's money in the Treasury. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so if you look at the overall impact, so when April hit, that's when all the, the tariffs was going really pretty high overall, right? So it was almost 30% over everything as far as what was coming in the country. Now with President Trump kind of negotiating deals, it's fallen probably about 15%. So, overall, the impact for tariffs is about 15% on everything that comes into this country. So the goal, again, for the government is to raise revenue. And that's really what tariffs are. They're a tax. And so, they're taxing somebody. Somebody is paying for that stuff to come in. So small businesses, large businesses, whatever you import, you're paying a tax on what you're buying from other countries.
So the tariffs can either result in revenue for the U.S. Treasury, which they have $100 billion, or the president wants to bring manufacturing back to this country, right?
Yeah, that's really what should prompt it. So what happens is, like, the buyers that I work with, what they'll do is if they see, this increase in tariffs from other countries, they'll try to source domestically if they can. The unfortunate thing, Tommy, is, some of the stuff you can't get, here in the United States, like coffee and avocados and, things that only can be grown or made in certain countries. And so that's what a lot of the buyers are kind of struggling with is trying to, again, minimize impacts and trying to find domestic sources if you can. And so if we can find it here in the United States, that's great. But if you can't, you're kind of out of luck.
So who paid the $100 billion? Where'd that come from?
Great question, Tommy. So somebody paid for it. So it's usually the companies that import those products in. So they, in turn, have to figure out what to do. So they have paid for it. So they normally what they'll do is they'll probably pass it along to the consumer. And that's just because they have to make a profit.
So when it comes to countries that have come to get a better deal from the United States, who has responded to that, or what have the tariffs produced as far as that goes?
Yeah, as far as I'm aware of, the UK was one. So there was not a trade deal, but I guess just a kind of an understanding of what the agreement is. And I think there was one other country, and I'm trying to remember who that might be. But from what I gather right now, all I can think of is the UK that actually has somewhat of a deal with the United States. And so there's a lot of ongoing stuff. Yeah, I'm sorry, Tommy.
When it comes to the president instituting them, pausing them, is there a method to the madness here? Is that part of some kind of negotiating ploy, do you think?
Yeah, absolutely, Tommy. So it's about position of power, right? So he's, again, trying to more or less force these countries to accept whatever terms the United States is giving them. And so that's why he's sending out the letters versus trying to enact some type of trade agreement. Trade agreements take years. What the president's doing is just trying to unilaterally enact a price increase. And that's what's going on these days.
And you say you think prices are going to go up in the next 6 months?
Absolutely, yeah. Because, basically these companies, they're paying this tariff. So, again, they're not going to absorb it because they've got to make money. So what will happen is that consumers will start to see prices go up in the second half of 2025.
Thank you. Appreciate your time. Patrick Penfield, professor of supply chain practice at Syracuse University. When we come back, we're talking with Anna Erickson, a Woodruff professor in nuclear and radiological engineering at Georgia Tech, about the United States and bombing the centrifuges in Iran, what did we accomplish, and how hard is it to wipe out a nuclear enrichment program? Right now, time for WWL First News. 644, 16 till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by Anna Erickson, a Woodruff professor in nuclear and radiological engineering at Georgia Tech. Apparently couldn't make it as a communications major. Professor, I'm sorry, but I'm glad you eventually found your way.
Good morning, Tommy.
How you doing? I'm kidding about the communications major. You're a nuclear engineer, and Lord only knows how smart you have to be to do that. Let's talk about I don't know where to begin with this. I see a piece you wrote about why the U.S. bombed a bunch of metal tubes. A nuclear engineer explains the importance of centrifuges to Iranian efforts to build nuclear weapons. How do we even start this conversation? Do you want to talk about nuclear power and your different types of uranium?
Well, this is a great question, Tommy. Thank you. I guess the reason I wrote this piece is because people kept asking, what's the big deal with Iran and why we send them planes, why we bombing those particular sites? So I went ahead and I wrote a piece explaining what the centrifuges are and why they were important to Iran's nuclear program. So this is where it started many years ago. Iran invested in peaceful nuclear program. And for a while, we were able to verify that they are not using the uranium for malicious purposes, like building a bomb. Don't worry, they still don't have one. But they were getting really close to dangerous levels of uranium, like 60% enrichment, which is far beyond that we need for peaceful purposes. So U.S. and Israel took initiative to actually have a forceful solution to the problem of Iran's enrichment activities.
I don't even know how you go about determining, like, what's lighter uranium-235 from heavier uranium-238? How do we know what they have and what they didn't have?
Again, great question. So how do countries actually get peaceful nuclear power? They have to sign an agreement first. It's called Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. So every country in the world that wants to have any nuclear capabilities has to sign a treaty indicating that they pledge not to build nuclear weapons. So as a result, the nuclear watchdog called the International Atomic Energy Agency, they are able to send inspectors to the sites of nuclear activities. So in Iran's case, the inspectors found signatures that the enrichment activities exceeded anything that they declared in the official paperwork. So this was announced to the United Nations and to the United States, of course, as a potential threat of nuclear weapon. So that's how we know, because Iran was actually subject to inspections, periodic inspections by the IAEA.
Let me take a break, Professor. We'll pick it up. We come back talking about Iranian nuclear weapons and what happened when the United States bombed them in centrifuges. Aaron Erickson, our guest, Woodruff Professor of Nuclear and Radiological Engineering at Georgia Tech. Tommy Tucker, back in a flash, WWL. Traffic or not? Okay, no traffic. Let's get back to Anna Erickson, a Woodruff Professor of Nuclear and Radiological Engineering at Georgia Tech. Talking about the U.S. bombing a bunch of metal tubes in Iran. So, Professor, one thing that I had a problem with was it seems like initially they were saying we shouldn't have bombed Iran. Then they were saying that we didn't get it all. And it seems like, well, wait a minute, it can't be both. Either there was a reason to bomb them or there wasn't. And if there was a reason, well, then the question is, did we get it all? Thoughts on that?
Yes. So first of all, let's talk about what we bombed. We bombed the centrifuges. That's what I refer to as a bunch of metal tubes. Think of a centrifuge as basically a mechanical filter for atoms. It spins uranium really fast, 10 times faster than Corvette's engine. So it separates light uranium-235 from heavy, not very useful uranium-238. So what happens if you bomb the facility? You disrupt the operation. Right, so those centrifuges, they don't work well anymore. Even if you don't get them, the facility is just not going to be as efficient. So, number one, we knew that the centrifuges were there, and we knew that they were used to enrich uranium to dangerous levels. So that's a fact that was established by the inspectors. We, however, do not know whether we got all of them or not. But again, what we do know is that the enrichment activities were slowed down. And that's the important part today, that even if we didn't get all of the facilities through the bombing that was conducted by the U.S., we know that we affected the operation capacity and the efficiency.
So what happens from here, Professor?
Well, what happens from here is not clear, because Iran no longer allows inspection of the facilities. They kicked out the inspectors. They are not allowing anybody on site. So we don't know what happened to the program in long term. We also don't know if they're going to try to restart it. So what happens is we need to continue talking to the officials of Iran to make sure that we reestablish some sort of relationship in the long run to continue monitoring what they do.
When it comes to the underground nature of these things and the intelligence, knowing what we know, what we don't know, people have told me that intelligence at best is like a Van Gogh, where the dots, you know, add up to a picture, at worst like a Jackson Pollock. How convinced are you that the intelligence that we have with what Iran is doing is accurate, and how concerned are you that Iran would get a nuclear weapon anytime soon?
Well, lucky for us, they probably do not have technology to actually get uranium to the levels you would need for an actual nuclear weapon. That's 90% enrichment, and they got up to 60. So that's a good thing. However, we don't know if they will restart the program. We know that they've done it once. We know they developed quite sophisticated metal tubes. Yes, the metal tubes, but they're very tightly controlled nuclear technology. So they know how to make them, and that's concerning. We can't necessarily erase the knowledge, right? And that's a primary concern today.
When it comes to the future and United States taking military action, do we continue to monitor the situation and bomb them when they get close? Or I know they have to. They want to enrich uranium for nuclear power, right? So when it comes to nuclear power, how do you draw the line between what they can do and what they can't do?
Well, what we need to continue is asking them to go back to the IAEA monitoring, because that's the only way for us to know what's really happening at the facilities. I don't know. Regarding the bombing, it's obviously beyond my pay grade, right? So we can bomb what's obvious, which are the facilities that we knew about. But if they continue going underground, that will be more difficult to access. So I think it's a very big problem right now. And there is no clear solution today.
Professor, when it comes to nuclear power in the United States, is that, and we only have a minute left here, but is that a thing that we should pursue more actively?
Well, nuclear power today provides 20% of our electricity. And one of the questions that I ask people is, how serious are we about the AI and this technology that everybody seems to be so fond of? Because AI consumes enormous amount of electricity. So if we're going to continue that path, the AI dominance, as the current administration indicated, the priority, we will need to invest more into energy in general and nuclear in particular, because we can't build just solar and wind. We need to rely on more stable electricity, and nuclear is the most stable.
Thank you, Professor. I appreciate your time. Y'all, look, Dave Cohen's coming up next. I'm not feeling great. Dave's going to take over. And hopefully I'll be back tomorrow morning, bright and early at 6. Dave Cohen's next. Stay tuned.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.